911. Amen. Well, good morning, everybody. Amen. And I just want to recognize, I don't think this is their first time.
It is.
Huh, the first time?
The other of Becca and
Ramon. Oh, okay. All right. We welcome you. And your name, ma'am?
Beth and?
Marina, we welcome you, both of you. Amen. Anybody else? The first timer? Okay, the old timer. Well, we'll probably by now you will know where we're going this morning. Galatians. So I want your Bible to open in Galatians chapter 6. Chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. Are you all there already? We'll jump in right away. Galatians chapter 6, and we're going to read from verse 6 to verse 10. Okay, are you all there? All right. Are you all there? Okay, verse 1 of chapter 6, it says, "Brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently. But watch yourself, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burden, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Each one should test his own action. Then he came, take pride in himself without comparing himself to somebody else. For each one should carry his own load. Anyone who receives instruction in the word must share all good things with his instructor. Do not be deceived." Verse 7, "God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers." Shall we pray? Father, we thank you this morning, and as we coming to the end of this lesson of Paul to the Galatians, and Father, we thank you, and we pray, Father, for your Holy Spirit to enlighten us and show to us, Lord, the things that we have not seen before, that may help us, Lord, in our walk with you. And Father, we thank you with all of this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Well, we had been in the subject of fruit bearing. It's an interesting one. And I like to use the illustration of our ranch in Redlands. See, Sister Rose and I and Irvin and Mia and Elijah have a ranch in Redlands. It's not that what we call a big ranch, but it's a 5 feet and about maybe 5 feet wide and 30 feet long. And our house is in the middle of it. And we have a couple of orange trees, and just to illustrate to you, a couple of orange trees, I pick it up in our ranch this morning, a couple of that trees, and then we have the biggest calamansi tree, the fruit, as big as this one. I don't know if you have seen a calamansi this big. No, this is the first one. I think Nonoy, the husband of Pat, he was the one who planted this. And he said it's calamansi. So I don't know if he had some drink at that day when he... But this is a calamansi. It's a big calamansi. It's maybe a lime, yeah. And then this is the favorite of Rose. Pomegranate. Hilapa. So this is the fruits of the ranch that we have in Redland. Oh, there's two avocado or three. Three avocado trees that we have, but it did not bear fruit yet. So, and as far as I can tell, the these are the trees that produce the fruit of those trees. And I observed that the trees, the branches, they never get together and says, you know what? Let's all work out and see what we can give to this family, because they like fruit. I do enjoy fruit, but as far as I can tell, the branches never bear fruit, just open up themselves in the sunshine and in the rain, and a bloom and a white things about that will come out. And pretty soon it grows, and then it ripens. And another thing that I noticed, that the limb of these fruits, of these trees, never leave the trunk of the tree. They don't get up, the limb never get down to the ground, and they run around. I realized, because the Bible, the Lord said that, as the branch cannot bear fruit itself, except it abide in the vine. Right? The vine. No more can we, except we abide in me. So that's what Jesus Christ. And I noticed with the branches of the tree that we have. They never get down, but they always attach. They always abide in the branch. And that's what John said in 15:4, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in vine. No more can we except we abide in Jesus Christ. So actually our problem is that we offer ourselves to God as a living sacrifice. How many say amen? That's we all see that. Lord, I offer my life as a sacrifice to you. But then, when the altars gets hot, and then when our schedule of our time, God doesn't fit in with our schedule, we can say, you know what, God, you're just right there. Stay there, and I will come back to you when I need something. And Apostle Paul stating the principle of fruit bearing so that we can understand it. So that the fruit bearing is produced by yielding. Yielding to the influences that are in us. We are to yield to the Holy Spirit that is dwelling inside of us. The Holy Spirit wants to produce a fruit. And it is called the fruit of the Holy Spirit. So now as we come to the last chapter of Paul letters or the epistle of Paul to Galatians, Apostle Paul brings us to the last step in this practical section of sanctification by the Holy Spirit. Sanctification is just like it's refining us and showing to us what needs to do. It's a practical way. So we have seen Paul saying that being saved by faith and then plus living with the law is just constitute falling from grace. So what he's saying is that when this is the letter to Galatians. Because the Galatians are what? They have problems, right? They have problems. The problem that we have, that they have, when Paul did the journey, a first journey of Paul, he opened a lot of churches in Galatia. And he preached that the only way that we get saved is through faith to Jesus Christ. Amen? The faith that we have to Jesus Christ, that's the only way. But then when he left, he was informed that there are a group of people, the Jewish religious group, and they call it what? The Pharisees. These Pharisees came in and trying to tell these believers that the only way to go to heaven is that you have to be follow the law. And most of all, the circumcision. But now, Paul is saying, you know what? The only way to go to heaven is through faith. Through Jesus Christ. And now they are trying to infiltrate these believers. That the way to go to heaven is faith in Jesus Christ plus the law. Amen? Are you with me? So now that's the problem. This is the letter that he gave to the Galatians. And he said that if you believe that through faith to Jesus Christ is the only way, plus the law, plus the circumcision, you're falling in grace. That means he said, you're not saved. Did I say amen for that? Do you know where I got that? In Galatians chapter 5. It says there, chapter 5, verse 4. It says, 5 chapter 4 or 3. Again, it says, I declare to every man who lets himself be circumcised that he is obligated to obey the law. You who are trying to be justified by law have been alienated from Christ. You have fallen away from grace. That means grace is not applicable to you anymore because you believe on grace plus the law. Are we okay? See, because by faith we eagerly await through the Spirit the righteousness for which we hope. So they're waiting for that. So the only way. The only way to go to heaven is through faith to Jesus Christ. And we have seen that being saved by faith and walking in the Spirit produce a fruit of life. Because if you are saved by grace and grace alone, and then when you yield to the Holy Spirit start to convict you for the things that are from the flesh. And it's you continue. To continue that by going that way, then the Holy Spirit is changing you from inside out. And that's where the fruit of the Holy Spirit start to bear in you. When you try to walk or yield to the leading of the Holy Spirit, as you continue to walk and yield to the Holy Spirit start to change you from the inside out to outside. Amen? And that's why he said, if you believe that besides from this faith through Jesus Christ and you need circumcision, Paul said that you are falling from grace. I don't know what does it mean. Maybe grace is not falling from grace. That means you're not saved. You're not even saved before. Because if you're saved, and you yield to the Holy Spirit, then the Holy Spirit working inside of you, that means there's changing, there's fruit that's coming out. And how do I know? Because that's evident. Paul says, it's so obvious. You see the change in your life, the change in your lifestyle. Amen. So let's tear this down. I mean, let's look at what verse by verse. Chapter 1, it says, brothers, if someone is caught, there you go. So now Paul is said, you know what? I want you to give the illustration. I'm going to give you the illustration, the practical way. If brother, if someone caught in a sin, it says that. In King James, it's fault. When brother, if someone is in fault, the New King James says trespasses. Or trespasses, but remember regarding which part of the nation are you come from. Somebody says trespasses. I mean, so who you are spiritual should restore him gently. But watch yourself or you also may be tempted. See, the word man, he says brother or sister, is mentioned in this verse, is there is no specific person. There is no specific church. His epistle is to everybody in Galatia, all the churches in Galatia. That means everybody, there is no particular person in this one. Brother, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently, but watch yourself, or you also may be tempted. See, the word fault in King James is taken from the Greek word paraptuma, which means a falling aside or mishap, or it means to stumble, or it may not refer to a great sin like maybe adultery or idolatry, or you know the sin that Paul enumerated in chapter 5. But it's something like a mix-up or a mistake. That's what he called the meaning of this sin. And sometimes if we don't, we just look it up there, it's sin, right? But this word here that comes from the word paraptuma, which means it's a falling aside or an accident. And now, Paul, what is to be done to a person who is overtaken or has caught in sin? Well, the Bible says that the spiritual person who many thinks they are spiritual interpret this as a meaning that they are to beat this person with a baseball bat because he has done something wrong. But there's a danger when we are not really wanting to restore him. The Bible says that you should restore this person. And sometimes we would rather criticize or condemn that person. However, the believer does not lose the person has to be restored, and that person who are not really wanting to restore him, is they would rather criticize him and condemn him. However, the believer does not lose his salvation when he sins. Are you with me? The believer does not lose his salvation when he sins. Amen? Are you with me? If a Christian is overtaken, this is an end that we have in here in Galatians, which means fault, which means, what did I say? Mistake or mixed up. They should restore this person. Are you with me? Because it's confusing. Because he said that the Bible says, Paul says that if you continue to live in chapter 5, remember chapter 5, verse 4? See, you who are trying to be justified by law have been alienated from Christ. You had been fallen away from grace. So he said that if you have been alienated, who is this been alienated? Those who does those who believe that Christ, that in order to have a salvation, you need to have circumcision plus the faith on Jesus Christ. See, when both of that, you believe and you follow those two, that means you are full in grace. That's what Paul said. Because what you're saying, that your faith on Jesus Christ alone is not enough. You need to follow the law. And how many knows that following the law, obedience to the law, that's not save a person? How many believe that? That means that if you believe that going to church on Saturday plus your faith on Jesus Christ, that will save you. Right? It will save you? Huh? What I'm saying is that following the law, going to church, plus my faith on Jesus Christ, that is my ticket to heaven. That's true? That is not true. See, the only way your ticket to heaven is through faith on Jesus Christ and Christ alone. What he did in the cross, that's your only way to heaven. Going to circumcision, going to do not murder, going to church on Saturday, going to confession, that will not save you. See, the Old Testament was written to show that we need a Savior. That the Ten Commandments doesn't save you. Are you with me? Did you understand that? Because when we go home, you might say that, oh, I know, what kind of message was that? Is that a heretic or is that an occult? Because we believe that we need to obey the Ten Commandments. Sure, but the Ten Commandments doesn't save you. That's not your way to heaven. It just expose you that you need Jesus Christ, that you need a Savior. Right? So, have faith on Jesus Christ plus this law, you're falling in grace. And that's what Paul is saying. And probably he's telling that to the Galatians, that that will not save you. It's only through faith on Jesus Christ. Right? Amen? Do you understand me? Okay. So now, go back to this. Now, Paul is giving us the example. Brother, if someone is caught in sin, the sin that he's talking about here is not this big sin that like adultery, those sin that he enumerated in chapter 5, those are not the one in that sin here in chapter 6, verse 1. Amen? Because he said, you need to restore this person because he sinned. He sinned. And you need to restore him. How are you going to restore this person? Hello? How are you going to restore them? Restore this person? Gently. You see? Gently. See, the word used for restore in this verse is a verb which means to set a broken bone. That means if the person you saw in the street, he got an accident as his bones were broken, you cannot just leave it, okay, well, see you next time. But they said that you need to restore him, that you need to maybe call 911 and so that the doctor can fix his broken bones. Amen? To this, it reminds me about an illustration about this preacher. Southern Baptist, I don't know, no, it's not, I don't know, but it's a Southern preacher. And he was saved. He was a drunkard, but he was saved. And through the busyness and the pressure the work that he does, one day he got drunk. He got drunk, right? And then the following day, he called his board of deacons. He said, you know what? Here's my resignation. And the board says, why are you resigning? Man, it's shameful. I got drunk last night and I feel like I'm not worthy to be your pastor. And this board of deacons gathered around and prayed for him and restore him. They said that, you know what, pastor? We forgive you. You're still the pastor. You see? See the difference? How are you going to restore? Put it back. Don't condemn that person. And one guy that was there, he said, you know what? That pastor preached the best message he ever received from that guy. Amen? So, first one is that, brother, if someone is caught in sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently, but watch yourself, or you may be also tempted. So now that's another part. Watch yourself, or you may be tempted. Amen? So, don't condemn that person. Put him back. Restore him. Verse 2 of your Bible. Are you still there? It says, carry each other's burden. And in this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. By the way, what is the law of Christ? Anybody? Can you remember what is the law of Christ? Love the Lord. Love your neighbor as? That's of all the law that's in the Bible. It was summed up the law of Christ to love God. No, it should be there in Galatians chapter 5 verse 14. Let's look up that one because I don't wanna say something. Are you there? Galatians chapter 5 verse 14. Are you there? Chapter 5, verse 14. Wait for me. You're reading already. You're ahead of me. You're excited? See, Kenny Boy is smiling. Are you there already? Galatians chapter 5. Are you there? He said, this is Paul is saying, the entire law is summed up in a single command. What is that command? Love your neighbors as yourself. The entire command, all of this, the Ten Commandments included, it's in there. The love your neighbor as yourself. What is love? It's one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit, right? Amen? So, if you believe, if you trusted Jesus Christ, and you yield to the Holy Spirit, there is an intimacy between you and the Holy Spirit. That is, you yield to Him because you're communicating with Him. You allow Him to work inside of you. Then the fruit of the Holy Spirit will come in. And that's an evidence. And even Paul says, it's so obvious. It's so, you need somebody to explain that more. So, you say that's the evidence that you are walking in the Spirit. Amen? So now, carry each other's burden. And if this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. When you carry each other's burden. If anyone thinks he is something, when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Each one should test his own action. Then he can take pride in himself without comparing himself to somebody else. For each one should carry his own burden. See, the burden are those things that we all have in common. Right? All of us have burden. Does anybody of you here doesn't have a burden? Burden? See, not all of us have wealth. but we all have burden. Not all of us have health, but we all have burden. Not all of us have talent, but we have burden. We do not have very much in common, but we all have burden, right? Now, burdens, the word burdens in that verse, carry each other's burden. It means baros in the Greek, which means fault, which means the other fault or sin. If a man is overtaken in a fault, it also means infirmity. That word, carry each other's burden, is the same word that Jesus Christ, when he went to Gethsemane, remember when he was bitten and he was suffering, that if this cup passed by me, when he said that, the Bible says that he carried our burden. He doesn't have burden. He carried our burden. He carried our infirmities. That's the same word that was used when Jesus Christ went to Gethsemane. Amen? So, those who are taught the word, verse 6. Are you guys okay? Verse 6. I want somebody to read that one. Can somebody read that one? Sister Pia, verse 6 of Galatians. Chapter 5, verse 6. 6. Chapter 6, verse 6. Yeah? Now, Sister Camille, you have your new living? I think the new living is... Can somebody explain it to us? What does it mean? Anybody? Brother Ken, what do you think is that for? What does it mean?
If you receive instruction from the Word, if you learn anything from Scripture, you should not just share it with yourself, but also share it with those who are instructing us.
Okay. That's good. Okay. So what he's saying is that if you are taught, if you receive the Word of God, you should pay your instructor. It says, the New Living says, those who are taught the Word of God should help their teachers by paying them. What do you think? New Living Translation, what does it say? See, I don't want to read it first because you might think that I want you to pay for me. Okay? I don't know why Paul inserted. That means they have to pay for Sister Myra because she's instructing us. She's teaching us every Sunday morning. I don't know why Paul inserted that in there. Because it says there, if you are receiving the word or the thought or teaching from a teacher, they should pay you who is teaching them. Right? I think I don't know why Paul put it there in the middle of those things, but I think he, don't take this as my theology. This is just my own. I think this is in relation to sowing and reaping. Because if you bless this person, he said that you will be blessed. What do you think? Huh? That's my own theology. I don't know. You guys perform your own theology. Did you get it? Huh? So we'll move on. We'll forget about that. Okay, verse 10. It says, don't be misled. Remember that you cannot ignore God and get away with Him. You will reap what you sow. There again, there's another mind-boggling, Brother Paul. He said that, Brother Paul, he said, don't be misled. Don't screw it up or whatever. You know, he says, remember that you cannot ignore God. He said that you cannot ignore God and get away with it. I think the New Living Translation has a good translation on that, Sister Camille. What does it say? Mm. Oh, see, Brother Paul is saying, Paul, apostle, say, don't be misled because you cannot ignore God, and then what does it say? Don't ignore God and get away with it. You will reap what you sow. So now that's you're gonna study that too. I'm gonna put that on your. Because he said that God has a plan for you. God has give you a will. God has give you the ministry. And then you try to ignore that ministry that God has given to you. God give you the gift. And then you're not using that gift. That you're trying to ignore Him. That you're trying to say, you know what, God, that's just all on God. I still have to go somewhere else. So he's saying, God is it, Paul is it, don't ignore, don't be misled. Don't ignore, because you cannot ignore God. God has a plan and purpose in your life, and then you're not responding to His plan and purpose in your life. You know what? Whatever you sow, you're going to reap. Right? Right, Brother Paul? Amen? That's what he's saying. Don't be ignore God, because He has a plan in your life. Right? Kaunti lang si amen. Amen? Remember, God, you cannot ignore God and get away with it. He will not let you get away. You're going to be stand before Him. Amen? You're going to stand before Him and make an account of what you do with the denarii that He gave it to you too. What's the other one? 4 and 6. What did you do? You just hide it there? Or did you invest it on something else? Huh? So, this is remarkable verses in the Bible. These are the Galatians is, man, it's, I was really encouraged. We went to Mia's, they have a little gathering, and Pastor Mac, the pastor of the Living Bread, and another Pastor Jeff, the one that spoke to our Valentine, and I said, Pastor Jeff, so what is God speaking to you and to the church? Oh, Pastor Ed, you know what, we gonna oh no. I said, you know what? I started it first. You know, I said, Pastor Jeff, we're almost done with our study in Galatians. Oh, Pastor, you know what? We're gonna start our Galatians next week. So I said, how did it come up with Galatians? He said, it's really a practical way, you application in your life. It's practical way how Paul talked to the Galatians. So it's really encouraging that, you know, Sharon speaking the same thing with what our lesson, and then somebody else, who else that one, that's speaking, that have a study on Galatians. But you see, Galatians is so practical. It's just like James, the epistle of James. And he said, we'll go back to this, huh? We'll go back to our lesson. It says, see, in this topic of sowing and reaping, first we need Oh, we don't have that one there? Okay. God is not mocked is the title. And the principles of spiritual horticulture. Oh, I don't know if it's a right topic in there, because it's something. It's the horticulture is the science or the art of growing fruits. So this is how we grow fruits, is that the first thing that we need to do is that we have to plant a seed. We have to sow a seed. Amen? And that's why he said, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sow. The one who sow to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sow to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. And I don't know if you realize it, that every day of our life, we are planting seed. How many believe that? That every day. We don't have to go out there today and start going to Stater Brothers and say, you know what, I want to plant seed. But just by our action, as we yield to the Holy Spirit, as we in contact with the Holy Spirit, God will bring people in your life, in your situation, that you can apply the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Because you yield. You allow the Holy Spirit to work inside of you. How do you do that? By obeying or allowing. And God will bring people that He wants you to apply about the love of your neighbor as yourself, or anything, situation in your life. Amen? So He said that if you, a person, the first thing that we need to do is that you have to sow the seed. Because He said, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sow. The one who sow to please his sinful nature, from the nature will reap destruction. If you sow that sinful nature, you will reap a destruction. But if you sow the Spirit, that will please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. And every day of our life, there is the situation in your life that God allow it to happen to your life, that you may be able to use the supplies of fruit of the Holy Spirit, and maybe peace, that no matter what, it's a peace that surpasses human understanding, maybe love of kindness and faithfulness and self-control. Those are the things. See, living in America, you need to have a self-control. Amen? Because if you don't have self-control, you go to Macy's, you're out of control. You go to Stater Brothers, if you don't have self-control, you go to Smart and Final, if you don't exercise self-control. See, God will allow to happen in this your life so that you may be able to supply, to use the seed that the Holy Spirit, that God has fed you, so that you may be able to apply the seed of the Spirit. And that when that allow the seed of the Holy Spirit comes to your life, and guess what? What is going to bear? It's going to bear fruit. Amen? Are you with me? Number two, that you have to sow the seed. You have to use the seed that God has allowed in your life. Number two, you must tend the plant. Let us not become weary in doing good, for the proper time we will reap the harvest. Tend is to take care. You take responsibility of what the blessing of God, what is the gift of God has given to you. And use it. You have to tend. You have to take care of that. Whatever the gift of God has given to you. Amen? And how many knows that there are few things that happen between planting and harvesting? See, in between the two, there is some weeding. You know, try to get the weeds. and then watering the plant and taking, maybe put some kind of the sand so that the rain or the water will penetrate the roots so that it will have fruits. Right? Amen? So, next you have to tend, you take responsibility of what the Lord has given to us. Because it says, do not let become weary in doing good. At the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we don't give up. Amen? I hope you guys don't give up with Pastor Ed. Amen? Because you're sowing something in my life and in the church. Amen? And the time, the season from planting to harvesting, sometimes it takes a while. It takes a long time. And some trees, they just grow it right away. But some trees, like the avocado tree that we have in our ranch, it takes maybe 2 years. How many years is that now, Sister Rose? 2 years? 10 years minimum. And Nanay have an advice for those who wants to take a plant those avocado or fruits. What's that advice, Nanay? The first fruit you have to give away, right? Don't eat it. Yeah. And that the next season you will bear much fruit. The fruit of kindness. Is that right? Amen? Okay, so you have to tend, you have to take care, you have to take responsibility of the gift of the Holy Spirit inside of you so that it will bear fruit. Amen? It will not bear fruits if you don't take responsibility of it. Amen? Are you with me? Okay, and then finally, then you will have a harvest. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from the nature will reap destruction. But the one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit he will reap eternal life. Amen? Now we can talk about the harvest in the different time frames. There are two time frames for a harvest. The first, there is a temporal harvest. The harvest of here and now. Anyone who has lived in this world for as long as the law of the reaping, what you sow, has an application even here, now, or on earth. There is a harvest of instant gratification. It's just for a moment. And there's a harvest for eternal life. You know, I was reading the letter that Steve Jobs. Have you read him? Have you heard him? He's the partner of the Apple. Is the Apple? Founder of the Apple with the other guy? Huh? Who? Steve was not a... He's a partner of a co-founder. And remember, he has a pancreatic cancer? And somebody found an essay from his bed. Oh, I should have printed it, huh? And it's you know, the only thing that he knows is about money. He has plenty of money to last a lifetime. That's what the letter that he wrote. But with all of those things, he said, the children. And I think he has a partner, or I don't know. And he said that with all of these things, the money that we accumulated, at the end, when you are at your death bed, you don't think those things anymore. This money, he said, the most expensive bed is the death bed. And he said, the only thing that he can tell to the people is that he said that you need to cherish your children and your family. Spend time with them. See, it's so bad that it's the money that he accumulated, He didn't enjoy. I don't know. Maybe he enjoyed it in the early stage, the instant gratification. But what we are talking about here this morning is the life eternal. See, the life that we have here, this is temporary. And if we cannot allow, we don't allow the seed of the Holy Spirit inside of us to work inside of us, so that it may grow, that it will bear fruit. That, what is that? I think we have it there. Next one, do you have another verse? Another. You see, the acts of sinful nature are obvious. Paul says, it's obvious. You can see that. It's a black and white. You can see that in your face. You see that sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery. Debauchery, I don't know if we use that. We don't use that anymore because it's archaic or it's an old. But it's all, debauchery is the combination of all of these things. And it's idolatry and
indulgence.
Lust. Shoes. And those Highlanders. Have you seen those Highlanders? Huh? Those high heels? Have you seen those ladies in Fox News? They have all wearing Highlanders. So it is the witchcraft. I don't know witchcraft. Sa atin maraming aswang ano. But it is hatred. Hatred is so common. Probably all of us here have that kind of fruit. Hatred. And you know, sometimes in the freeway or in the street, man, it just. And then it says discord. See discord. You know, it's the one that's splitting people, huh? They're creating a havoc that will create gossiping, discord, jealousy. Imagine that. Fits of rage. That's people in the street. Be careful when you're driving because when you cut them off, they'll give you a fits of rage. Selfie. How many of you use selfie? I mean selfies. Selfie ambition. Dissension. Nobody use selfie, right? Faction and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and then if you don't see any of your sin that there, they will. It's like there, and the light. See, Paul is funny. You know, you think, oh, any one of those is that's not me. But then in the light, kuha ka dyan, ha. So I warn you, see, Paul is warning us this morning. As I did before, I don't know how many warns did he, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. So you don't have your inheritance. I don't know, it's just the inheritance. When you see inheritance, you say, you will not be in his kingdom. Okay? But, he gave you an option. Right? He gave you an option. He gave us an option. You don't have to be on that the kingdom. See, it's the kingdom of darkness on the top. But he says, in here, in the kingdom of his dear son, he says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace. And peace. See, I share with them this morning that we have the peace to get into our new contract of this building. And you know what kind of peace do I have? I said I have the peace that if only I can put it in the bottle and sell it to Stater Brothers, I may be a millionaire. I have so much peace. And I believe the board of elders have a peace too. Amen? So it's peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such thing, there is no law. See, imagine that. Man, that's what Paul is saying. I want you to bear fruit. If you allow the Holy Spirit. See, the good thing is that The great thing is that it's not me that will do. It's the Holy Spirit. It's the yielding of the Holy Spirit as you allow the Holy Spirit to work inside of you. How do I know that? How do I apply? How do I let the Holy Spirit work inside of me? Does anybody have an idea how the Holy Spirit work inside of me so that I can allow the love and joy and peace? Do you have any idea? Anybody? You see, as you allow the Holy Spirit, as you yield to the Holy Spirit, is that, you know what? It's not me. It's the Holy Spirit that working inside of me. God will bring situation inside in your life that you can apply those things, those patience. Sometimes we went to Long Beach yesterday, and the traffic is, I don't know how many miles. It's a parking lot. So God said, be patient. You cannot go anywhere. So God will bring situation inside of you, in your life, that you will apply, that you will allow the seed of this love, joy, peace, patience, kindness to bear fruit. Amen? And that when you bear fruit, when you're standing there in the freeway and you start singing and worshiping, oh, I have the joy of the Lord. You allow the fruits of the Holy Spirit to come, to bear fruit inside of you. Gentleness, self-control. You're not gonna find it, I'm gonna have a self-control today. No. There is a situation. God will bring situation in your life that you're gonna use this seed. And that when that seeds grow, it will bear fruit. When you start walking and yielding to the Holy Spirit, then it starts to bear fruit. But first you have to plant the seed. Amen? Once you plant the seed, there is a taking care of. And then you yield, you take responsibility. When you get some or whatever happened, don't blame it to somebody. Take responsibility. God has given you that seed. Amen? You might say, well, no, Pastor Ed didn't give me that seed of faithfulness last Sunday. And that's why it says the fruit of the Spirit. Notice that the fruit of the Spirit is not plural. There is no S. Did you notice that in your Bible? It's because once what the Holy Spirit inside of you, He will bring all those things in your life. Amen? Are you with me? Okay. Shall we pray? Shall we all stand? Oh, hallelujah, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord, this morning. Thank you for your goodness, Lord Jesus. Thank you that we could come and study the epistle of Paul to Galatians, Father God, because it's so practical, Lord, that we can apply that in our life. Father God, that the process of sanctification, molding us, Lord, so that we may have the mind of Christ, Father God, so that the image of Christ will reflect in our life, Father. So this morning, Lord, our prayer is to yield the move of the Holy Spirit inside of us, Lord. As we allow, Lord God, as we surrender our life to you, Lord Jesus, today, we want to welcome the Holy Spirit in each one of our life, Lord Jesus. God, that you may be able, Lord, to work inside of us. That this word, Lord Jesus, is that we learn today, Lord God, it will not fall on the wayside, Lord. That it will be stumbled and dried out, Lord God, and it will have no effect inside of us, Lord. It has no effect in our life, Father. But it will have a growing effect, Lord God, inside of us as we yield to the Holy Spirit, to the work of the Holy Spirit. And Father, we thank you, God, that it's not by doing, Lord, but it's in trusting that you alone, O God, can make this happen, Lord, in our life. And Father, we thank you today. Thank you for my brothers and sisters, Lord. God, that hears your word. Father, we pray that they will take, Lord, they will take this word, Lord, and run with it, Lord God. Run with you, Lord Jesus. Oh, Father, we thank you. Thank you, God, that it will bear fruit, Lord. Yes, Lord, as we yield, Lord, as we allow the seed to be planted in our heart, Lord God. And Lord, we thank you today. Thank you for your presence, Lord God. And Lord, we pray that as we bring our tithes and offering to you, Lord God, that it will grow, Lord Jesus. The faithfulness of my brothers and sisters, Lord God. Because of your love upon each one of our lives, Lord. And Father, we thank you and we praise you, Lord God. And thank you, Lord, for the food, Lord Jesus, that you have prepared for us. Pray for those hands that prepared it, Lord God. And Lord, we thank you and we give you glory and honor, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, Amen, amen. Thank you, everybody.